Business Breakthrough Thursdays is a podcast for business owners, not just any business owner, but leaders who are not satisfied with their current levels of growth, productivity, or profitability. Leaders who are dedicated to taking their business to the next level. Leaders who want to break through. In this podcast, we'll interview breakthrough business owners, innovative CEOs, and thought leaders. People who are creating change for their businesses, their industry, and their community. Each episode will give you actionable ideas and strategies to help create your own breakthrough business. Please welcome your host, David Fionda.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Business Breakthrough Thursdays. I'm your host, David Fionda, and we are at episode 3. Today, I have the pleasure of welcoming one of our instructors and experts, Andy Winnig. I've known Andy for 20-plus years, but Andy is an entrepreneur and business owner, and he's discovered that business networking starts with an effective 30-second elevator pitch. His proven 3-step elevator pitch coaching process is based on his 10-year journey from cold call salesman to referral salesman. Andy's mission, to help small businesses get better leads from business networking. Andy received his bachelor's from Yale University, where he was awarded a magna cum laude and elected to the Tau Beta Pi Engineering Honor Society. Welcome, Andy.
Thanks, Dave. It's great to be here.
You know, and tell me, Andy, what is the biggest mistake you see people make with their elevator pitch?
You know, Dave, it's a great question. The biggest mistake people tend to make is what I call the laundry list. And that's this approach where you throw everything at the wall to see what sticks. You're trying to cram everything into your 30-second elevator pitch. And I can't tell you how many times people come to me for coaching and say, okay, I do 3 things, and how am I going to fit them all in 30 seconds? And I'll tell you that that's a mistake because it's not the way networking works, right? I mean, you're not looking, it doesn't work with sales either, but especially with networking, what you're looking to do is start a conversation. And so when I work with people on the elevator pitch, I'm looking to have them say something kind of short that gets a conversation going. So instead of talking as much as you can about yourself, it's more about, you know, saying something that causes the other person to respond in a way that starts a conversation. You can't tell them everything about yourself in the first meeting, and you wouldn't want to. And that's really part of the big mistake. People think they have to get it all out the first time they meet someone. And it's a much better situation where your goal at the first conversation is to create a second conversation with the people that you want a second conversation with, right? You're not going to want to talk to everybody. You're not going to want to network with everyone. So I work a lot with people on how to figure out who they want to talk to and how to say something that causes the right people to respond in a way that looks for further conversation.
Sales 101 is not about closing the sale in the first meeting. It's about getting someone to advance. And there's a bunch of steps to advance. And I guess networking is the same thing, right? You're not looking, all you're looking to get out of networking is to get a call back or something like that. So, you know, you talk about it's best to be specific, but, you know, doesn't that limit, you know, the opportunities, if you're trying to be specific? You know, how do people avoid being pigeonholed?
Well, what I like to tell people is that if you can be pigeonholed, you're on your way. Like that's really the goal. And it was funny. I noticed this the other day. My daughters were introducing their cousin to a family friend, and the friend said, "Oh, so you're the artist?" And there was this kind of awkward moment because she was actually thinking about this cousin's sister. This cousin is known as the dancer. And so once she heard she was the dancer, she's like, "Oh yeah, the dancer. Okay." And then they talked, and it's funny because this young woman, dancing isn't all she does, right? She's actually a pretty good artist in her own right. She's a very good athlete. Like, there's a bunch of stuff she does, and people always shy away from that pigeonholing, but all the pigeonholing does is put you in context for people, right? It helps people remember who you are. Like, "Oh, you're the elevator pitch coach," you know, "Oh, you're the person who works with foreign nationals," you know, "Oh, you're the family entertainer who does, you know, Star Wars balloon shows," right? Whatever it is, then you can talk about the other stuff, right? Once you've got that out of the way, then the conversation became very normal again. She was asking questions and their cousin was answering, and it just went along. And so people are nervous that they're going to be pigeonholed, but that you want to be pigeonholed, right? You want people to think of you in a particular context. And again, I never recommend that people stop selling what they're selling, right? If you have 8 different products, you have 20 different products, that's great. You should continue selling all of them. What I'm recommending is that you talk, you market one of them. You just market one of them because that starts the conversation. That gets people talking to you. And then as you talk to them more and more, you can bring up other things that you offer, but you can't bring them up all at once. You got to start, as you said earlier, you got to start with one thing and that'll lead to other conversations.
I remember going to a networking event, and I'll never forget this. I think I told you about this, right? This guy said, hey, I'm so-and-so from so-and-so, right? For the next 15 minutes, all he talked about was what he wanted to sell me. For the next 15, I never got to say, and you know me, I'm a pretty loquacious guy, right? I didn't get a word in edgewise, not a word.
Yeah.
And when he was done, he said, "Yeah, I got to go talk to this guy. I'll be in touch. Make sure I'll give you a call. We'll be in touch." Right? I'm like, "What was that?" Right? I mean, like, and the guy had the guts to call me back. I'm like, "Well, I said, what do I do? I have no idea. Oh, get to business together, right?"
Right. And that's the thing. If you're talking, and that's the thing, people are like, I need a 30-second elevator pitch, but a lot of people who get this wrong, I go on for 15 or 20 minutes just talking and talking and talking.
All he did,
it
was so crazy because what he basically did is he found companies way to save money and he just went into the process and the detail and the people he worked for. And he never once asked me, what do I do? And, you know, based on talking to you, anyone I meet, I ask them, so what do you do?
Right.
How can I help your business? How can I help your business? People will talk like that all the time, right?
People love to talk about themselves, right? If you can get someone talking about themselves, you'll be a great conversation. They'll consider you a great conversation.
Right? Well, it's like, you know, I always say sales is like dating, right? It is. It's like dating. And imagine if you're trying to, you're in high school and you see someone that you want to meet, maybe go out with, and all you do is talk about yourself, right? Yeah, you're not going to get anywhere. But if you get them talking about themselves, then you have a better chance of them saying, but even though I don't know very much about them, and that's all from prior experience, right?
Oh, we've all been there, Rick. We've all been talking to people who just would not stop talking, and it's
right.
You don't want to emulate that. It's better to say something and have people respond. Then you're actually having a conversation.
You're shocked when they don't call you back. Why?
Right. They don't take your calls. Right?
Why did they call me back? Oh my God! I thought we hit it off so well, right? And it was somebody just blabbering in the person's ear for 20 minutes, and they walk away going, "Oh my, I'm not gonna call this person back." Are you kidding me?
Exactly.
Yeah, so true. So. If you're everyone's in the rooms in a conversation, how do you recommend using your elevator pitch? How does that work? A networking event. You go to these. We haven't been to one in a while, but I'm sure they'll come back soon. But
sure they will. Yeah.
Yeah, but you're at a conference. It's like 35 people trying to develop business. Everyone is engaged in a conversation. What do you do in that situation, Andy?
Well, you have two choices in that situation. What I really like to recommend to people is to head over to the bar or the place where the food is and everything, because that's where people tend to go when they don't have anyone to talk to. And I'll say that people walk in like everyone's talking to someone. It's not usually true. Usually if you look around, especially if you look over by the food, there are generally people there who are looking for a conversation. I recommend first kind of looking for people who are alone. Because, and I get a lot of people, like I'm an introvert. People don't believe that about me, but I actually am an introvert. I learned how to do this. And trust me, as nervous as you are about approaching someone, they're much more nervous to do it. So you're actually helping them. Like if you go over to someone who's standing alone, it's helpful to them and to you. And you can find a lot of good things. Quiet people are sometimes really good people to talk to. So it can be good to do that. The other thing you can do is approach groups of 3 or more. You never want to approach a group of 2 people who are talking. There's really no unawkward way of breaking into that conversation. It might be inappropriate to break in. So you're looking for groups of 3 or more, and especially if you know someone in the group, like they can bring you in, but just kind of, go and stand on the outside, laugh when somebody says something, you can generally get moved into the group that way. So you're looking either for people who need a conversation partner or groups of 3 or more. And that's really the best way to approach people.
I was laughing because I remembered that guy I told you about that wouldn't shut up.
Yeah.
I was in a conversation with somebody and he interrupted me. Hey, it's Charlie here. Can I talk to you about something? And then the other one's like, okay, Dave, I'll call you. I was like, It was like one-on-one conversation. The guy kind of dives in, takes his card out, thrusts his card in my face, right? I'm like, wow. That's like how not to network, right?
Right, right.
You know, you're talking about the same thing, right? You know, it's there are a lot of parallels between dating and networking.
And the biggest parallel, actually, Dave, is that you're looking to rule people out. Like, really, what I talk about in networking, you want an elevator pitch that causes you not to talk to the people that you're not interested in getting to know better, right? Like, when you're networking, you're getting to know and trust people. That trust develops over time. You have to be talking to people that you like talking to. Like, if you're trying, you know, if you're trying to get a conversation going and it's really awkward at the networking event, it's not going to be less awkward on follow-up. Like, you're really looking for people where the conversation works.
Right.
And, you know, I like telling the story about I went speed dating. This was years ago now. I've been married for a while, but I went speed dating. We had 7-minute dates. And I joke, the only thing a 7-minute date didn't rule out was the woman with who I had 8 minutes worth of conversation. Dinner that we had nothing to talk about. And, you know, so, but you are, you know, in networking, you meet people and you follow up with them and you have a coffee meeting and you have another coffee meeting. Like, you get to talk to them over time and get to trust them over time. And people like try to do it all in that first meeting, and you can't, I mean, people who don't respond to you, it's fine. Like, they're not the right contact for you. Like, it's okay. Like, people are always so relieved when I say, you know what, you're not going to connect with everyone. Just pay attention to the people that you do connect with. So right. I really think there are a lot of parallels there.
A long time ago, when I had my accounting software business, I was training this guy. They bought my practice, and I took a young kid who was an accountant. I taught him how to sell software. And that's the metaphor I used was, you know, a good salesperson only closes for the next step. You know, they don't ask for the order right away. And it is like dating. You know, you don't say to somebody, hey, let's get married. Right. You know, I mean, we had a roommate that, you know, we'd say that on the second date, you know, the tuxedo would come out, right? I mean, you know, whatever. It's like, no, you can't. You gotta wait.
Takes longer than that.
Now, I've always wanted to write this book, you know, How Sales is Like Dating, because it really is. It's about, and networking's the same way. It's really about just, you know, getting to that next step and focusing on that next step.
It's relationships, right? I mean, it's developing relationships. Like, that's what you're looking to do.
And I like your idea about, you're there to really, and I never thought of it this way, but I do. When I go to a networking event, I want to learn about what people, I say very little about myself. Yeah. I want to learn what people do so I can say, can we benefit each other? That's really what the end of the day is. If somebody, and you know,
But I'll say too, Dave, that you don't, when you meet someone on the networking floor, you don't necessarily know if you can benefit each other, right? I mean, people think, carry that in all the time. And I really recommend, like, inviting people that you liked talking to coffee, because as you get to know people more, that's when the really cool stuff comes up, right? So I do encourage people not to think too hard. Like, is this a person I could connect with? Just have the conversation. Just follow, you know, and look. And again, I have people invite people to coffee meetings. A lot of people don't respond. If you invite 3 people to a coffee meeting, only 1 or 2 are going to respond. And you just let the other one go, because if they can't, you're looking for people in your network who are responsive, right? If they can't respond to you, you don't want to chase. There's no reason to chase them. Like, they're not, you know, they're not connecting. So,
right. Well, that's something I learned today, Andy, because, yeah, you're right. You know, you need a little bit of time to be able to figure that out, you know.
And you can't size people up on the spot. You know, hearing someone's 30-second elevator pitch doesn't give you enough information to do anything other than decide, you know, let's talk. I want to hear more about that. But honestly, you're going to connect more about the other stuff. You're going to connect more about your hobbies and the families and that kind of stuff. Like, you're just looking for people that you enjoy talking to, because that's how you develop trust. That's how you get to know people over time, is by having multiple conversations.
So as a follow-up, how do you decide whether or not you follow up with that person? If you can't do that assessment, which I'll do differently next time, how do you decide?
So there are 2 things that can happen in a networking event. You could absolutely run into someone who is a prospect. You could run into someone who has budget and burning need for what you're offering, and you set up a sales meeting with them, right? So that's one kind of follow-up thing. So if you do run into someone who wants to buy from you, I recommend setting up a sales meeting and then networking with other people. You don't network with people that you're selling to. The way you find people to network with is you look for people you enjoy talking to. And I'll never forget, I mean, I was having a good conversation at one networking event with this guy. We were actually talking about commuting. I mean, it sounds like the most dull conversation, but I don't know, we knew some of the same streets. It was actually, we were connecting, and this guy comes running up, looks at both of us like, okay, what do you do? And the whole thing fell apart. It just fell apart. And so I really encourage people to go and do the conversations. And I recommend finding 3 people at the event that you liked talking to, and you invite them to a coffee meeting. And that's the process I'll be talking about in this course we're launching in the fall, that you go out and you find people you enjoy talking to. You have an elevator pitch that gets you into conversations. And then once you're in those conversations, you kind of look for people that you enjoy talking to. And those are the people that you invite to a coffee meeting. It doesn't have any, and they're by definition not people you're going to sell to, right? They're not people who are going to buy what you're doing.
What percentage of time do you run into a prospect for your services that's hot? Roughly.
5%, maybe 10%. I mean, that networking is all about, and that's the thing. That's the thing people don't understand too. Like, a lot of people treat networking as a prospecting thing. They gather all their cards and then do the follow-up. But what you're looking to do is to, if you can develop trust with like two or three people from that networking event, you get access to all the people that they know. Like it's a much more productive way to network, is to get to know a few people really well. And then the people they know, they trust you, they trust them. That's how it works. So yeah, I run into actual prospects very infrequently.
What I found, and again, when I was, you know, kind of, I do a lot of networking for both of my jobs. Yeah. What I typically find is that the majority of people at networking events are service providers and not actually prospects. Is that your experience as well? You know, people you could partner with or refer a business with. You know, I mean, I went to this very big networking event in Needham back last December, and I would probably say I met 40 service providers that I could build a relationship with, but only like two or three people who were there to buy stuff. Is that your experience as well?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think that's true. I mean, even if you're at an event with somebody who could buy from you, the chances the timing are right, that this is now exactly the right time for them to buy from you, just isn't. It's just hard to make that match up. So what you want to keep showing up, and you want to keep being there. And yes, I mean, people joke the Chambers of Commerce, it's all bankers and financial advisors, right? But if you can find a banker and a financial advisor that you can get to know, right? They're not all the same. I've got some wonderful bankers that I know, right? So you're looking for a banker that you can sit down with and have a conversation, not about interest rates, right? And that's how you develop that. And I mean, bankers can be very helpful, right? I mean, you need bankers at various times, and people that you know will need bankers. So if you can have a banker that, you know, is a good person, you can refer stuff to them. Like, I don't have anything to refer a banker to now, but over time, like if I get to know, you know, so I invite a couple of bankers and, you know, we see how it goes. And again, most of them won't be much. You'll just know what they are. But over time, you develop the rapport with people that, you know, you run into someone who's looking for a loan or, you know, trying to do something with commercial real estate, and like, oh, I know exactly the person you talk to. And that's where that comes. So, it's not just that they'll, you know, and bankers too need, you know, I talk to people too, like referrals don't have to be a client. You can refer someone a book. Like people love it. I've given people books to read. They're like, that was a great book. Mm-hmm. You can refer them gardeners, right? I mean, there's all sorts of things that people need that aren't necessarily clients. And so if you're getting to know people and listening to who they are, you know, you can come up with a lot of ways you can help them that aren't just by giving them clients. So I like to back that off with referrals too. Like, it's not just about referring them to people. It's about understanding where they are. You know, maybe they need a service provider for one of their kids, or, you know, they're looking at a different school or whatever it is. You never know. So I encourage people to like get to know people and take it from there. And you'd be surprised how much stuff you know that can actually be helpful to someone else. So that's how I kind of think about that.
That's interesting. So it just isn't about referring someone a client or referring someone an opportunity. It's also about making them more informed and making them better, or giving them some good advice. That's great. That's really great.
Yeah.
You know, I always feel the pressure of like, oh God, I can't refer this person anything, right? So I think that's a great way of doing it. Yeah.
But you know what? If you talk to them for long enough, if you have a long enough conversation with them, there'll be something you can help them with. And again, I mean, you could recommend a book or a podcast or an article you saw. I mean, there's plenty of things that you know that could be helpful to them. And I agree, a lot of people, you're not alone, Dave, because a lot of people take that pressure in to these networking events, and it cuts it off. No, I mean, that's what I teach people, that you don't have to come up with referrals right there. But you know what? If you're thinking about referrals, you're not paying attention to them and to a way that you could really help them. I mean, I have clients, I refer them to my web guy. You know, I have clients, I refer them to lawyers. Like, I had one of my favorite referrals was a woman who owned a cat hospital. I referred her to my insurance agent, because she was having exactly the same kind of workers' comp issue that my agent had finally solved for me. And it was at a Rotary dinner, actually. We sat together at a Rotary dinner, and we were talking, and over time...
I don't know who she is. I think I know who she is.
You may, yeah. I mean, it was a great referral because I didn't go in there trying to refer her my insurance agent, but we talked about cats and all that kind of stuff, and eventually this came out, and I was like, you should talk to my insurance agent. I was like, because she solved exactly that same problem for my business. And
no kidding.
I've always been proud of that because, again, a conversation, like she didn't blurt out that she needed help with her workers' comp insurance. We were talking about our businesses and it came out. And that, I mean, she loved it. My insurance agent was delighted. She was delighted. Like everyone was delighted. So that's the kind of thing that I look for. And again, I mean, it's good for my insurance agent, but it wasn't. It's a different kind of referral than most people think of when they think referral. And I like people to kind of relax their definition.
So what it's really about is in the course of the conversations you're having with these people is to really learn about what they need and what their businesses need and what they, how you can help them. And I know that there's a lot of people that do BNI and I'm sure it's great. BNI, my understanding, first of all, I never did BNI because they started like some ungodly, ridiculous hour of like stuff. But, I get invited in and it was all about, okay, I get this client for you, you get this client for me. And it's like, it's kind of, that's like the currency. And
BNI
sure works, but
BNI works very well for certain things. And with BNI, you have to be careful because you got to find the right group. Like they're all the groups have different personalities. So I know people who love BNI and I have great respect for BNI.
Yeah, me too. And I was impressed. I just didn't have the kind of referrals that I could do for people with what I did.
Right. No, and I think, and that's, that's true of any networking group you're going to visit. Like it's good to kind of figure out the type of group. And I mean, I'll remember one group that I joined. I was visiting 1 week and I had to miss the next session because I was giving a talk. And they were like, well, what are you talking about? I was like, oh, I'm talking about business networking. They're like, that sounds like it could be interesting to us. So they all came, like they had the meeting. We had the meeting at the talk that I was giving. So I was psyched about them. Like, they were willing to learn. And again, that was the kind of group I was looking for. There are more transactional groups. They're all different kinds of groups. So I think it's good to visit a couple, whether it's BNI or not. I think it's good to visit a couple of kinds of groups to make sure, you like the people and you feel like you have a good feeling about it. So,
but the learning is that you need to go beyond just the referral. You've got to figure out other ways. There are other ways you can help.
I call it opportunity spotting. And again, it's one of the things that I teach is, and we're not tuned to think, right. We're trying to think like, how can they buy from me and how can I buy from them? Right. And that's not the way it works best, right. That can work, but it's not the way networking works best.
So we all have this, and it happens at every single event I have. And I'm sure everyone you've been to, there's a monopolizer, right? One person just bends your ear.
Yep.
Like, thank God that guy, that person that bent my ear for like 15 minutes, decided he was done bending my ear and he wanted to go bend someone else's ear. So
there you go.
Do you have any tips for how to politely kind of say, buzz off? I mean
I do.
Hey, and sorry to our listeners out there, but when you have someone like that, you're like, oh my God, I can't listen to this person anymore. So let me ask you, Dylan, do you have any tips to politely end the conversation?
I do. And the trouble with people that we're talking about is that it's hard to get a word in edgewise, as we were talking about. That the problem is they don't stop. And what I found really works well is that you use their name. So as they're talking away, you say, Dave. And that'll kind of give you an opening to say, hey, you know what? It's been really nice meeting you. I'd like to go and continue networking, right? And people understand that, right? I mean, that you're not lying. Like for a while I was telling people to go, they wanted to go get a drink or go to the bathroom or whatever, but I don't really like lying to people. And people understand that at networking events, you're not supposed to talk to someone for 15 minutes, right? And so if someone's been going on, and I do recommend first, trying to get a conversation. If someone's, if someone just starts launching in, you say, you can try to, you come to a lot of these kinds of events, like you can try to kind of get them off their business pitch. But if you decide you really want to get out, I recommend using their name. And that's the thing, people don't want to be rude, but of course it is rude if someone's just chatting your ear off for hours and hours.
They don't think so.
Right? No, they don't. Well, so use their name and then you can say, I've really enjoyed meeting you. I'd like to go meet some other people now. And that's, and just shake hands and off you. Once we can shake hands again, shake hands and off you go.
That's great. All right, one more follow-up. What is kind of the optimal time you should spend talking to a person in a networking event? It's so hard and fast, but...
Yeah, it's not hard. I mean, you don't want to, there are people who go to networking events and just spend all the time talking to the people they know, and that's kind of a waste of time. But if you never talk to the people that's kind of bad too, because the people that you know are the people who know you best and trust you more, and you might have opportunities there. So it's good to talk to them too. I think that 5 minutes is kind of a long time to be talking to someone, right? If you've got 5 minutes worth of conversation, it's probably worth inviting them to coffee to continue the conversation and then going and meeting other people. So, 3 to 5 minutes, I think is a pretty good, you don't want to be too short with someone, and you could end up in a 10 minute conversation that turns into something really interesting. So I don't like to rule that out. I don't like to have a hard and fast rule.
Right.
But if you're talking to someone 5 minutes, if you're talking to someone for 5 minutes, you can easily say to them, hey, I've really enjoyed our conversation. I'd wonder if you want to get together for coffee, see how we can help each other grow our businesses, right? You can set up a follow-up for it, that so you're not spending the whole networking event just with that one person. Because again, you're looking for 2 to 3 people you can follow up with. That's how I kind of teach. And so that's
so basically, within the first 3 to 4 minutes, you should get an understanding in your own mind about whether you want to have a follow-up conversation.
Well, I mean, you know whether the conversation's awkward or not within the first couple of seconds.
Well, sometimes the first 30, like that guy, 5 seconds in, I'm like, oh God, here comes the pitch. Blah, 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 blah. Like, oh my, do you want to save money? I'm like,
oh no, I wish you'd taped that one. I could use that in all my training. That's a good one.
Right. Wait, do you want to save money? Let me help you save money. Here's how I'm going to do it. Right? Oh,
yeah.
God.
So everyone's got a name tag. So just say their name, tell them you're, and again, I mean, you're looking for, you don't want to get monopolized by someone, but you don't want to be too short with people. You can always see the people who are always looking for the next person to talk to. So I like to be engaged with the person that I'm talking to, talk to them. You get to a point either where they're, you kind of said what you needed to say and you can move on, or there's more to say, so you can set up a follow-up. Those are kind of the two options.
So, event's over. Time to wrap up. What's the best way to follow up after a networking event?
Well, yeah, as I've been talking about, a lot of people collect as many business cards as they can, and I admit I did this for years. Right, I had a stack of business cards on my desk, and I would call them. And it turns out that's worse than cold calling. And I say it's worse because at cold calling, at least you're cold calling, whereas from a networking event, You think you're networking, but you're not. If you've gathered a lot of business cards and you're calling people, they don't remember you. I encourage people, everyone has a stack of cards in their desk. I encourage you, grab that stack of cards. Just look at the first few cards. See if you can remember anything about that person. I have business cards on my desk from people, I met them 2 weeks ago and I have no idea who they are. And so you're really looking to make the connection first. Right. And what I like to do, I leave a meeting with 2 to 3 business cards in my pocket. I mean, again, if there are sales on top of that, I leave with those cards too. But I only ask for a business card from someone who I want to follow up with. So I get home and we go through this all in the course, but I have a specific email I send to invite them to a coffee meeting. And so that follow up, it's always about people that you got to connect with them first and then follow up with them. A lot of people try to grab the business card and then follow up. And that's not network. I mean, that's not even really cold calling. That's just, I don't know what that is, but you're looking to make a connection with people. The people you make a connection with, you can follow up with. I'd like to follow up with a coffee meeting, and we go through all of that.
Great. Well, Andy, it's been it's been really informative as always speaking with you. Today we talked about biggest mistake that people make using with their elevator pitches. They try to include too much information, right? They're not more specific. Talking about it's okay to be pigeonholed, because that's a way for you to spur conversation. It's really about having a conversation and learning about someone, not trying to sell them something. Ways to deal with if someone's at an event, circulate by the food table, look for people who came alone, and more importantly, approach 3 people, don't approach 2 people. The monopolizer, I love that tip. Use your name, but also don't always focus on the contacts you can provide them, but other ways you can help them identify opportunities, and then follow up. Don't just start cold calling up to follow up. Do it in a way that's memorable. So we've had the great pleasure of having my friend and business networking expert Andy Winter here with us today. Andy, thank you so much for your time. Thanks so much for your great tips. We're really looking forward to getting this course launched in the fall with you, and we think that it can benefit a lot of our members and help make their businesses more successful. So thanks very much, Andy.
Thanks, Ed. It's been great.